Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton. And we're thankful to be here on today. Bring you none other than the Word of God. Amen. Knowing that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's just so good to be here, and we have moved on into the month of February. Moving on kind of quick now. I believe today is the 9th of February. So what a blessing. I guess we all are looking forward to spring. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we're your station that we talk about the truth, and we're endeavoring by the grace of God to tell the truth, realizing that Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:15. So it's a blessing to be able to open your heart up unto God. And this is what people need to do, just like Jesus said when in the book of the Revelation, those first three chapters, and the focus was, and the thing that he was endeavoring to get people to do, like he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so we know that what the Spirit is saying is what the Word says. So like we say, the Spirit and the Word are synonymous, the self-same one. So God's Word is God Himself. So what He is saying. So we thank God for that. And we're going to move on. So, but before we get into our lesson, we have been in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to have Elder David Clifton to do his food for thought or whatever he has on his heart. He's going to come to us in his own way.
Amen,
Elder
David Clifton. Amen. Praise the Lord to all the listeners. We thank you again for tuning in to us. For all of those that are, constantly listening, we thank you. And for any new listeners that we may have out there, we just hope today's broadcast will be a message or will be a blessing to you, today's message. And, just a reminder, not only, today as we are live right now, but there's a lot of the shows that are on demand where you can go back and follow up on some things if you want to, to catch up to where we are. Amen. And just wanted to bring something to everyone's attention, a discussion that, some of the brothers at our brotherhood meeting we were having. And, we're gearing up, when the weather breaks, as you said, we're looking forward to spring, to going out and, to be doing some witnessing to the community out here. And, a lot of times you will come into counter with people that know the Bible. They know the words of the Bible. They know the books. They know the chapters. And a lot of times these people can quote scriptures right back at you, if not quicker than you, better than you.
Yeah.
But the issue that I have with a lot of these people is that as good as they are as far as quoting the word, most of them are not living the things that they are quoting. Mm-hmm. And it just brought my mind back to James, where he says, to be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the Apostle Peter went a little further, if you will, shed a little bit more light for those that have known the truth and come into the truth. And in 2 Peter, he says that it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But he goes on to say, but this has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And if you just think, just what a filthy thing for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this naturally where dogs will vomit and then turn right back around and eat that vomit.
Right.
And that's what God is saying, you know, to those that have come into the knowledge of God, and for, you know, whatever issue they may have had, they have gone back out on God, and they're not living those words that were, you know, sold into their spirit. And this is just my call to all of those that have once been in the truth. Fight your way back into the truth. Get restored. And go through the proper channels to do so. And for those that are just casual readers of the Bible that are very familiar with it, I just encourage you, and I, you know, I admonish you all to begin to live those words, those scriptures that you are very familiar with, because we know that the Lord is soon to come. We can look in the world, we can see the things that are going on, and you know, as I said, you know, the history channels and news stations,
mm-hmm.
they're doing specials now on the second coming of Christ and all these things. So if the world can see, and whether or not they believe it or not, they see, and they're making mention of Christ coming back soon. So those that are truly in the truth or have one point in time been in the truth, open up your eyes. And as you know, Elder Cannon was saying before the broadcast, Christ is knocking on the doors of his own church. He's trying to get back in, and that is your heart. Let him back in so you can make it. Amen?
Yes, amen. And we want to make sure, thank God for, give a shout out to our Facebook listeners. Thank you for listening, be it now live or via on demand. Broadband. We got all these bands.
Yeah.
On demand. Thank you for listening. And we want to give our guest call-in number. And that is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566.
Amen.
So we're going to go on in our lesson today, but I was just thinking here while we're getting ready to go into the lesson on today, and that is there's a word that is very important. And that word is ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not be ignorant. And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're endeavoring to try to help people
mm-hmm.
to realize that the church began at Pentecost. We're going to deal with this today on our lesson, in the mind of God. And we know in the book of Ephesians, which was written to the church at Ephesus, in God's mind, there has always been a church.
Mm-hmm.
We were chosen in him, before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
So we're going to kind of give you some types and shadows as we move into the lesson on the day,
mm-hmm.
that in God's mind, there has always been a church.
That's right.
Even back in the Old Testament, he was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same God.
That's right.
So I said, he's great and greatly to be praised.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's traveling in the greatness of his strength. One psalmist says that he was seen walking upon the wings of the wind.
That's right.
I mean, he's a mighty God. So and he is the one that's walking right now up and down in the midst of the golden candlesticks in the church. So he's the one that's important. So we got to come back down off these high horses, all these important people. And I say that, and I won't stop saying it. But Jesus is the one that's important. And man has exalted himself, and that was the problem with Lucifer. The reason why he got the boot, he got kicked out,
mm-hmm.
is because He said he was going to be like the Most High. He was going to exalt himself above the Most High. He was going to try to take over and take over God's spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. But God is high and lifted up. He's so high and lifted up that the psalmist says that he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He is a mighty God. So at this time, we're going to, without any further ado, we're going to start off. And today, we left off last week in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We finished that up. But it's so very important. And we got to take responsibility. Just like we say in the world about people doing things, in our salvation, we also have to take responsibility. And so this last verse, I'm going to read that before Elder Clifton starts off in our lesson in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. But Apostle Paul's words, he said, "But I keep under my body
mm-hmm.
and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And that is, there's too many people nowadays, they're hypocritical leaders. They're saying, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say do," because they're living a lie. And so we want to live, so you got to get into truth to exemplify truth or exemplify what the Bible calls true holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, we're going to move on off into our lesson on today.
Amen, amen. And this going into chapter 10, just to leave off from what you said, a good example is someone that is not only showing you the right thing to do, but they're doing it themselves. And a lot of times, and as we're going to see here in the 10th chapter, there were some examples left for us that were bad examples, if
mm-hmm.
you will. And they're used now as a warning to the church to not do certain things. So if you're going to be an example, we want to be good examples and not bad examples. We want to be the type of example to look at someone and say, that is how I would like to be, or that is the way that I would like to live
yeah.
my life. We shouldn't look to people as an example and say, that is the way that I should not go, or I do not want to go.
Right.
And that's what Paul was saying. You know, if he's going to be, writing all these letters and doing all this correction, he wants to make sure that he also himself is living by those very words.
Yeah. And before you get to that, before you start off, uh-huh. I just like I just mentioned that scripture about Paul was saying he keep under his body. Then, so I just want to fast forward, give you a little flash in the next chapter
uh-huh.
before we start. And he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In
That's
other
right.
words, imitate me in the Lord.
That's right.
Do what I do.
That's right.
Because I'm seeking God. I'm going to be a witness for God. I'm making it. I'm pressing toward the mark
uh-huh.
of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
I'm not going to, just like he said, I'm not going to tell you what to do and teach you and preach to you, and I'd be lost. I'm not going to do that. Like they say,
yeah.
Like the old people say, no.
That's a sad
no.
That's a sad state.
Nay.
that's a predicament you don't want to be
yeah.
in. Amen.
Yeah, because we don't want to. Because you don't want to end up like those in Matthew the 7th chapter,
mm-hmm.
when saying we did all these things. He said they were professed to me that they did all these things. And he would say, "I'll profess to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Yes. So that's what we're trying to do, is to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes.
Amen.
So you won't be ignorant of God's word.
Amen, amen. So beginning here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, Paul starts off and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play.' Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fail in one day 3,020,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And I'll just stop right there. We can go back and kind of do a recap.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that you may hear a lot of people say, and I've heard this saying before, is they'll say that the New Testament supersedes the Old Testament. And what people will try to say is the Old Testament is no longer any, it's not good anymore. We don't need the Old Testament. We only need the New Testament. Being ignorant, as Paul does not want us to be, we have to understand that the Old Testament scriptures were not only written, but they were preserved and ordained for the church for a reason. And that is to give us types and shadows and examples. And a lot of things that happen, a lot of events that happen in the Old Testament would be for our learning here in the church age. And just a couple of things or revelations, if you will. Even how he says that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What people don't realize, and some realize it, but they don't want to accept it, is that is a type of the new birth in the New Testament.
Yeah.
The cloud being a representation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if that's the way that you want to phrase it. And then the baptism in the sea is a representation of the baptism via water by the name of Jesus Christ. So, again, types and shadows. There were things that happened in the Old Testament that would translate over to the new as you know, a lot of people, we like to watch movies, and they leave you little clues that may happen in the movie, and at the end, it kind of brings that whole thing together.
Mm.
This is, if you will, that type of thing where he tells them that they were all baptized onto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Right.
He goes on to say that they did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Again, and this is something that Elder Cannon says all the time, you know, after the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. It's then Jesus,
yeah,
or the Christ. But what you have to understand is it's the same. And even though we don't get the story of Jesus Christ until Mary gave birth, we have to understand that Christ did indeed exist in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And as Paul says here, that rock that they drank from, if we want to go back to Exodus 17, that was Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and then also while he's getting that, we have to look at, like Peter said, even when he mentioned even back in the days of Noah, that few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And he said, the like figure doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God.
That's right.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven. Angels and principalities are made subject unto him. But the point being is the baptism being a type and a shadow, the same water that saved the children of Israel destroyed their enemies.
That's right.
And that is the same way with the baptism. The baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, you're immersed in water in the name of Jesus, that saves you from your sins in obedience to the word of God, because what makes the virtue in the water is when the name of Jesus is called.
That's right.
On the water. The same water that you are immersed in with the name being applied, that, like they said, down at the cross where my Savior died, there, down forth from cleansing I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. That's when the blood applied, is when the name is called. So the name is called, and so the water, the baptism in the name of Jesus in the water, saves you and destroys your enemy.
That's right.
So the same water that saved the children of Israel when they went through, the same water destroyed their enemies when they came in there.
That's
so that's the type and the shadow of that.
And you can actually see that several times, even if you go back to Noah.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying.
With
yeah,
Noah,
that's what Peter was saying about.
You know,
there eight souls
saved
by water.
By water.
He's talking about in the days of Noah.
That same water destroyed every other piece of flesh that was on earth at
right.
that time.
And I want to read just one more scripture, because Elder David Clifton just made mention about are people trying to act like that the Old Testament does not count.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime
mm-hmm.
were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope.
That's right.
He's talking about the Old Testament. And then not only that, in the 24th chapter of Luke, Jesus was saying that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses
That's right.
and in the prophets and in the Psalms mm-hmm. concerning me.
Amen.
Because the apostles did not have the book of Acts to preach and teach out of.
That's right.
But they had the Old Testament. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Their job was to lay the foundation, to write the New Testament scriptures,
mm-hmm.
to be an eyewitness, and to die the death of a martyr,
Amen.
With the exception of John, the Revelator.
That's good.
So,
and even with saying that, how you said the apostles only had access to the Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah.
When the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, and Philip came unto him,
yeah.
the eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah.
Yeah.
And one good thing he asked, when Philip asked him, he asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?"
Mm-hmm.
And the brother knew, the Ethiopian eunuch knew, he told him, "How can I understand it? Except some man
should guide me.
So
yes.
He knew that he needed a man of God to guide him. But what I want to get to is at the end of the story, that eunuch said, "Here is water." Or,
yes.
or Philip said, "Here is water. What does it mean mm-hmm. to be baptized?"
But the eunuch said it.
Yes. The eunuch said that.
Yes.
The point is, Philip preached a message to him.
Jesus.
Out of Isaiah, he preached Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The question you have to ask yourself is, if you look at that scripture in Isaiah, it says nothing about being baptized.
Right.
It doesn't say anything in there.
Right.
But you have to understand the knowledge of God and right division of the word. Mm-hmm. Those brothers had the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. They understood what it took for someone to be saved.
Yes.
We, in this day and age, should be able to preach out of the Old Testament and tie in, the baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But a lot of times we miss that. As you said, one glory can give light to some, and it will blind others.
Yes.
Just as a cloud. It gave light to the children of Israel so that they could see, but that same light blinded the enemy so that they could not see. The same
right.
cloud, the same glory, but it gave light to some and it blinded others. And that's another reason, some people, and we get frustrated where they can't see the baptism in Jesus' name, and it's just some of them, they're just blinded. They can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God just has to, simply reveal things to you. And if it's not according to his will, and if your mind and your heart is not in the right place to receive it, he's not going to show it to you. Amen.
Right.
But we were reading about that rock that followed them, and Paul says that rock was Christ. And if you turn back to Exodus, the 17th chapter, to see what he was talking about, this is dealing with, the experience of the journey that the children of Israel had. And I'll start at verse number 1. It says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?'
Mm.
And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?'" And if I can just pause right there, that's something. They were in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
They were enslaved.
Yeah.
At this point in time, they have seen the sea part. Then they turn around and watch their enemies drown in the sea. They came up forth on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
They've forgotten all this now.
Right.
Not only thing in their mind is they're thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
You see how quick people can turn on God?
Mm-hmm.
That's just amazing. So verse number 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord mm-hmm. said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it that the people may drink."
Water.
Mm-hmm. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So the point is that rock,
mm-hmm.
What Paul is saying is that was Christ.
Yes.
Again, hidden
mm-hmm.
in the Old Testament,
right.
revealed In the new, and
yeah.
that's a lot of that, you know, that's primarily what you have in the Old Testament. It's Christ being hidden somewhere in the Old Testament scriptures, and he will be revealed in the New Testament scriptures. So that's just, you know, one of many instances where in the epistles that is brought out. Amen?
Right, and then people, so that's why we try to endeavor all the time to, we pray that you're, God, to open up the eyes of your understanding about the revelation of the oneness of God.
Mm-hmm.
God is one. Like the Bible said, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man,
that's right.
Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get the revelation that there's not, like the Lord said back in the book of Isaiah when God was speaking, I am God and there is none else. I'm God, there is none like me. I'm God, he said, beside me there is no Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a revelation of the oneness of God, how he came in a human body. That's why we read in St. John, the first chapter, every week in our intro. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Back in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God. That is a divine testimony. In the beginning, God, there is only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So that's what we're endeavoring to let people know. That is the message on today, even in this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, the same God that was back then, that rock was Christ, is the same God that we're talking about in the New Testament that was back in the Old Testament.
Amen, amen. And then Brother Paul goes on and he tells them, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Again, this takes place after they have been delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh. Moses goes up to the mound to speak with God,
mm-hmm.
and there, you know, he's up there, and the people are asking Moses to, you know, to come on down. They're waiting on Moses to come down, and after Moses does not come down, they take all their gold and they melt it down and they make a calf. They're falling into idolatry worship here.
That quick.
And again, it shows, I guess you can say, the lack of patience that we have. We want God to be there,
mm-hmm.
all the time. And it's not that he's not there, but we want something spectacular to happen all the time. We want all the good things, but we don't want any of the tests or any trials that come with God, and they are going to come.
Yes.
And now we understand that these happen again. It says that this was an example.
Mm-hmm.
This is a warning for us not to do this. So if we
yes.
have this warning, Elder, and we've seen how they were delivered, tested, failed to test, judged.
Mm-hmm.
Delivered, tested, failed to test, and judged. If we see that God operates like this, then it should make our walk in this day and age a little bit easier, because we should see, okay, well, God is going to deliver me out of this situation. I should know that a test is going to be coming,
yes.
and I need to pass this test, and I need to lean on God and know that he's capable and able of taking me out this.
Yes.
If I don't, I'm going to be judged. But, you know, it's kind of like if you're walking down the street and I see you, you know, maybe someone takes the cover off a manhole.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and you fall in that manhole, and I'm walking right behind you. There will have to be something wrong with me to take that same route and not move after I just saw this happen to you.
Right.
When I get there, I should take a step to the left or a step to the right. Unfortunately, we have people that won't do that. But
right.
again, if you fail, maybe you fail for an example or a warning to show me not to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul is saying some of those instances in the Old Testament was. He goes on to tell them not to commit fornication as some of them did. Again, he's dealing with when the children of Israel mixed themselves with the heathen women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a specific instance where they brought one of these women into the camp.
Mm-hmm.
That again shows that saints should not be in any type of sexual relationship. Well, if you're not married, but
right,
number one,
exactly.
We shouldn't be marrying anyone that is not in the body of Christ.
Right.
That's the same idea that he's getting to there when he's talking about fornication. They were forbidden in the Old Testament to mix and mingle with the women and also the men of the world, and so are we. So, again, he's giving us examples. He's telling us not to be like this. He's telling us not to tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of servants. He's telling us not to murmur. And he goes on in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition unto upon whom the ends of the world are come. And he goes on in verse number 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. Wherefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say.
Right. And then that's so very important, just the scripture, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall.
Mm-hmm.
We're not bragging on nothing that we're doing. The only reason why we can live holy is because we have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He's the one that's keeping us and helping us. And we're looking at, like David said, we're looking to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help coming from the Lord, like he said, which made heaven and earth. But that scripture is so very important. No temptation has taken you, but such is as common to man. So there's things going to happen to us. It's not when we're going to say, what? Or be shocked like, oh, I got tempted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, show their day. And a very good example of man being tempted, when you want to talk about fornication, which is a branch of adultery,
mm-hmm.
would be Joseph in Potiphar's house.
That's right.
When his wife tempted him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, I can't do this. And I like what he said, and sin against God.
That's right.
Not hurt my boss,
uh-huh.
or the man Potiphar, but I'm not going to sin against God. So that's what people got to realize. Nowadays, I think people have really not really considered Jesus. They have put him out of the picture. They don't realize that his eyes are everywhere in every place,
mm-hmm.
beholding the good and the evil. The things that they are doing behind closed doors,
that's right.
they can't have conscious of God. That he's there, he sees you. So he says, God is, and so what's very important in this scripture, God is faithful.
That's
says
right.
He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So we're looking to the Lord. We're looking to Jesus, as the Hebrew writer says, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he was saying. We're running this race with patience. You know, that is set before us, and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So just like the word, there's some words in the Old Testament that are still being used, and that is, and it shall come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That test came, and it's going to pass.
That's right.
It came to pass.
That's right.
So the test is going to pass. So we got to be patient. And just like Job, he didn't charge God foolishly. He cursed his own day and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't blame God. He knew. He said, shall we receive good and bad at the hand of God? So in other words, just like he said, the Lord has gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He just cursed the day that he was born. You know, he wished that he hadn't came forth out of the womb. Because in other words, what it was is that is, faith was on trial. They say Job wasn't on trial. Faith was on trial.
That's right.
And so we don't, in the flesh, we don't want to go through. We don't want to go through.
And that's the issue right
yeah,
there. We don't
flesh.
Want to go through.
It's just like Jesus' prayer, when he prayed before he laid himself on the altar and became that sacrificial lamb,
mm-hmm.
he was saying that, let this cup pass. So in the flesh, I want this cup to pass, but he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that he had to be the sacrifice.
That's right.
Because without shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Mm-hmm.
He saw us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that shows you how weak the flesh is.
I mean,
when you look at that,
yeah.
that was the reason he came.
Yes.
Was to die on the cross.
Yes.
But again, his flesh, the flesh of God, did not want to go through the torment. Now, you know, think, what if God would have did like some of us,
mm-hmm.
and decided not to go through the test? What if he would have just got up and ran and hit himself?
Mm-hmm.
We would all still be living in our sins.
Right.
But again, you know, God being our primary example of how to live, he went through that. And we have to understand that God is not one to set anyone up for failure. Okay, he's not going to put you through something and not give you a way out, as the scripture said.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, you get met with the situation, and you may very well know the way out, but because you're weak in the flesh, you choose not to go that route, and you fall into the sin. You know, if there's a coworker or something, you know, a female coworker that's digging on you, she likes you, and she invites you over, and you go over, and you end up falling in fornication with her. Before you went over there, you probably saying in the back of your head, I probably shouldn't go over here because, you know, I know she really likes me. She's very attractive. Something may happen, you know. I probably shouldn't put myself in a situation like this as a Christian. That's your way out right there.
Exactly.
The thought has came for you not to do that,
mm-hmm.
but
that's
what do
door.
We do? That's the door.
God is faithful. Who will with the temptation.
Uh-huh.
That's the door.
That's the door.
Make a way to escape.
That's right.
That you may be able to bear.
And a lot of times we don't because,
we don't
like
go.
You said, the flesh is weak, and we end up going, and then we get upset and say, well, Lord, you know, why did you let this happen? Well, he didn't let it happen.
Right.
The thing presented itself to you, and you chose to go down that path.
Exactly. Like James said, he said, let no man... when he is tempted, say, I am tempted of God.
That's right.
God cannot tempt you, neither tempt he any man.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, he goes on to say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away
mm-hmm.
of his own lust and enticed.
That's right.
And he says, and when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. And like the saying, they say, and it's very true in the natural, and that is no conception, no babies.
Mm-hmm.
When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin.
Yes.
So you can't let it conceive. No conception, no baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then not only that, but no sin. You know, people think that they can just, folks are doing all kinds of things to cover up. Just like the guy and Onan, he withdrew himself and he spilled his seed on the ground. Well, actually, that wasn't a really bad sin that he'd done. He shouldn't have been over there in the first place doing what he did.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So he's going to try to cover up.
Yeah.
So no conception, no baby. So point being is that God is a faithful God.
Mm-hmm.
You could be, and that's why James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
So it, whatever comes to your mind, you don't have to do it.
You know,
like they say, birds can fly over your head.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't let them build a nest mm-hmm. on your head.
Mm-hmm.
So thoughts are going to come. So we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried.
And
like I said, we have the perfect example. Even the Lord himself, like the Bible said, consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Jesus, the Hebrew writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he endured that stuff against himself. He got beat. He was up all night. He got accused. They tried to blow his mind. They tried to beat him into subjection. All the things that they'd done. And even like they said that they didn't realize they were playing right into the God's plan was being performed when they said, who shall we release? Because Pilate said he didn't find no fault with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They released Barabbas. They had to.
They had to.
Because Jesus came. That's how he said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really understand what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
He came to be rejected of the elders and be crucified and be raised again the third day. And this is what he told Peter. And Peter said, be that far from me. He said, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Thou savest the things that be of men and not those things that be of God.
That's right.
When he had gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He didn't understand. So you got to realize that he came to give his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said, greater love that no man than this, that a man lay down his
life
for his friend.
Friend.
So that's why John, the writer, says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about God. Now, God didn't die as the eternal spirit, but he died as a man.
Yes.
He laid down his life.
Amen, amen, amen. So going back here to the 10th chapter, verse number 16, He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the stables that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth of the Lord, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience I say, not thy own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And there's a lot of things said, and one of the things, going back, and I do believe it's later on in 1 Corinthians or possibly 2 Corinthians, and that's something I'm looking forward to, because in the beginning he's talking about the communion of the blood of Christ and the bread, the body of Christ. And one of the things that you will have, and I remember this as a child, when I would go to churches, you have a lot of churches that have communion all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that is in the church that day, they will let them partake in communion. And something that we don't understand is you have to be able to discern the body of Christ and the blood of Christ to even be a partaker. You have to be in the body of Christ to be a partaker of communion. No one can just come in off the street, and partake in communion. And that is, somewhat of a flash forward. But again, for all of those that have been following us, we dealt with the Corinthians, and they were dealing with eating meats, meats that were offered to sacrifices. You know, could they eat them or could they not eat them? And he's telling you that, but if any man says to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, he says, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So again, he's showing them, the law of love in relationship to eating and drinking. He's dealing with fellowship at the Lord's table, and he's telling us to be separate, in the things that we do. So again, he's telling us through all of this that, with holiness comes sanctification, which is a separation, and we cannot fellowship with those that are of darkness. We cannot partake in things that are evil. We cannot partake in things that are evil if we are the children of Christ, and that's just kind of summarized everything that we read here. And that's another thing that I said. You have a lot of people that know the book, but they're not living anything.
Right.
And that is one thing that is confusing the world as a whole. There's some people that are really looking, to find Christ. But if we are supposed to be that light up on a hill and we're barely shining, how are the people going to know where to go?
Right.
So that, that is an issue, Elder, that I have, is, you know, a lot of us, you know, we can go through this word and we can read it and we can quote scriptures, but we're there is no separation. You know, as I said, the wheat and the tares are growing right up, you know, close to each other, and we can't tell the difference anymore. It's very hard to tell the difference between saints and sinners nowadays, and it's not because the sinners are looking like the church. It's more that the church is beginning to look like the sinners, or to look, or looking like the world, if you will.
Right, well, the way they're carrying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, you were going to say, I think that word partaker is very important, because you're not going to, just like you say, somebody's saying they're going to eat something sacrificed to an idol, so you don't want to be a partaker in that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to agree in that with them. You be a partaker, so you're just as guilty as they are if you do that. You're going to do this for if they hadn't, just like you said, they don't say anything, then you can eat. This is any man saying to you, let's see, right here, verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even in our days, nowadays, just like you say, you went to your wife's aunt in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you had, sure enough, ate Italian.
That's right.
Spaghetti and homemade and everything. And, I mean, so if she was offering this stuff on the idol, she didn't say nothing.
She didn't say it.
And you didn't ask.
I didn't ask.
Yeah,
no,
so, yeah,
right,
that's a good
right,
example.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So the point being, sometimes, you know, so there's no harm done
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she wasn't, she would have said it. But sometimes people do things like that, so we have to be careful. Like even back in the Old Testament, folks were eating their own children and all.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing all kinds of crazy
That's right.
stuff. And nowadays, we just our meat is things that people do, the fellowship that people, and like you say, we can't sometimes tell the world from the church. I mean, the message of the apostolics and the oneness of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all should be all the self-same message. I'm thoroughly convinced if folks would decrease, just like John the Baptist said, he knew when his time was up, when he was saying, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes, he said, you know, to stoop down and to loose them. He was saying that he must increase and I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what John the Baptist knew. There was something in him, which is the Holy Ghost, letting him know that he had to decrease and Jesus had to increase. And I think that's the problem today, is that pride. You know, folks are so important. If everybody would realize that it's about Jesus, just like one of our elders said, if folks would just preach Jesus.
That's right.
We get ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
We had some preachers that would do that. Some of our fathers that are going on to be with the Lord, they preach Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Jesus is the center of attraction.
That's right.
Not how important I am, my armor guard, my armor
bearers,
which is my bodyguards, is what all they are.
That's right.
You're supposed to bear your own armor, put on the whole armor of God. You know, everybody is so important to you, to us nowadays. We're magnifying ourselves. And some folks, and I say this, some people don't realize, like, you don't get ordained a bishop, but you get ordained an elder. And if you, and even if you are appointed a bishop, because we know a bishop is an overseer, and if you're a pastor, you're a bishop. But I think, and I know I'm right. I'm in the right church. Some folks are so glad to be a bishop.
That's right.
They really are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, forget that. I mean, you got to realize who the bishop is. Like Pastor Paul said, and Peter said, who we better be talking about and looking to is the bishop of our souls.
That's right.
The apostle of our profession.
Mm-hmm.
The captain of our salvation.
That's right.
He made, you know, the things perfect through suffering.
Mm-hmm.
He was our example that we got to look to, that we got to consider. Just like Apostle Peter said, for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. But the key that he said, with the same mind.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the mind.
That's right.
You got to have that mindset. Just like Jesus set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And so that's what you got to do. and set your face like that to, you want to please the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do the will of God.
That's right.
That's what people are not doing
mm-hmm.
nowadays. We got to really realize who we're serving. And not only that, the Lord is soon to come. All the signs are pointing toward the Lord coming.
Mm-hmm.
So in the church, he is the head. And we are the members of his body, and Christ is the head of that body. And so that's what we should be doing. We really were, like the songwriter says, magnify the Lord with me, and let us make his, exalt him. Let us exalt his name together.
Uh-huh.
So this is what we should be doing. And just like he says right here, that we all these things are conscious in all of this. We would take all these things into consideration as we, kind of elaborate through these verses that mm-hmm. are being read. I didn't want you to.
Amen. Just going back to separation, as you were talking about
yes.
some of the forefathers. One of my most favorite messages I listened to was Bishop Golder, "Ye Are the Salt of the Earth," and just like we were saying that we shouldn't be partakers of evil things.
Mm-hmm.
And in that message, Golder said that he used to go to a store. I think it was a cleaner's or something like that. He would go in, and the gentleman there would always ask him if he wanted to hear a joke, and they would be dirty jokes or nasty jokes, and he would tell him, "No, I don't want to hear that."
Mm-hmm.
And every time he'd go in there, "You want to hear a joke? No, I don't want to hear that." So I think he says, so the brother finally asked him, "How come you don't want to hear any of my jokes?" He told him, "I'm a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't partake of things like that." And the point is, you're sitting at the water cooler on Monday, or you're in the coffee break room, and someone's telling a dirty joke, and you're a saint, and you're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether That's you know a- it or not, you're partaking, or you're solidifying, or you're saying that that's okay
mm-hmm.
by you laughing with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not separation,
right?
You have to show that you are different.
Put a difference.
You have to put a difference,
mm-hmm.
and then again, how John said, I do believe it was in it's either 2 or 3 John, where he tells them that if any man brings another doctrine,
mm-hmm.
if any another preacher comes into your house
mm-hmm.
preaching another doctrine, he says you are a partaker
right.
of his evil
yes.
deeds. That means that you are supporting that.
Right.
There has to be a separation.
Right.
And that's something that Paul was trying to drive home to this church in Corinth, that there has to be a separation between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, righteous and unrighteous, light or darkness, whatever way that you want to put it.
Right. Yeah, and that was in 2 John 9:10, I believe. He was saying, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "If any man come into your house and with any other doctrine," he said, "don't bid him Godspeed. He that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." He's talking about the gospel. So we know we shouldn't be laughing. People want to tell these little jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, some things are no harm, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a lot of times people have jokes about ethnicity, for lack of a better word. Or to put it that way, or they'll have jokes about religion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of stuff you have
right.
to be careful of, really, more than anything.
And the important thing about it is just like these people that had prepared this meat,
yes.
offered it to idols, you didn't cook it,
mm-hmm.
you didn't buy it, you didn't prepare it. But if you eat it and you know that's what it's for,
right.
you're a partaker.
Exactly.
If you are an apostolic pastor and you let a Trinitarian come into your pulpit,
mm-hmm.
you didn't preach the message, but you allowed him to come in
right.
and preach that.
You're responsible.
You are responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You are a partaker. If that man is in there telling, dirty, nasty jokes about women,
mm-hmm.
you didn't tell a joke, but you laughed at it, so you're being a partaker. And I think that's, that's one of the deceptions that the enemy may use, is that's how he may draw saints into error, is to get them to partake in something with them not really knowing that they're doing it, being ignorant.
Right.
To it. Just yeah. So again, we have to be very careful. But I do honestly believe, Elder, that the more acquainted we come with the book, the better off we will be, and we won't fall into these
right.
things.
Because when you get in situations, that's why the writer said, "Thy word if I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee."
Mm-hmm.
So when you get in situations, if you got word, the word of God in your heart,
mm-hmm.
the word is going to be like the enemy, like the Bible says, when any enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them.
Mm-hmm.
That standard is the word of God.
That's right.
So you can't be empty or void of the word of God. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our high tower, you know. Like Apostle Paul said, I mean, if we would take heed, everyone, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, what he tells us to do, and to take heed, but he says, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling us all these things to do. Take the shield of faith and, you know, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of truth, our loins girded about with truth, and taking the, you know, the shield of faith that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he goes on to say, tell you to go on the offense. He says, above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then that's another thing. Brought me right back to my thought. First Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the dividing of soul and spirits and joints and marrow. But here's the important part. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts
That's right.
and intents of the heart.
Uh-huh.
That's what God is looking at, the motive.
That's right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
The heart.
Yeah, because people do things to see what you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
just like what he said about those dirty jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see what you're going to do. Everybody, they got their eyes on
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. And then they turn around, and that's what I say, and that's how the offenses, or that's how people
yeah.
begin to talk bad about the church.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to be in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You should be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be laughing at that. So, again, we have to be able to see those things before
yes.
they come so that we can react
exactly.
Appropriately.
Exactly. And that's not saying we're dry, some dried up, pious people. No. We should be happy. The Bible tells us to be. And all of that, there's times we got to be angry with what God is angry with. You're not, you know, I'm not going out on a limb. You're not going to take me out on a limb. I see what you're getting ready to do. You're not getting me in a headlock and taking me to the cliff to throw me over.
right.
Yeah, like I said, you see the devil coming? Don't wait till he get there. When you see him coming, it's praying time.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to arm yourself
that's
and prepare
right.
yourself.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, so going on and just to give a brief preview of the 11th chapter, you know, a lot of times you may hear excuses of people falling in or being in certain situations. They'll say, well, my pastor does it, or
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe I've seen this elder do it, or I've seen this evangelist do it. And you read the scripture earlier where Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also am of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the person that you're looking to, the pastor that you're looking to is following Christ, it's okay for you to follow them. But the issue comes is, how do you know if they're following Christ if you don't know what the book says?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, another reason as saints is just pew saints, we have to be familiar with the scriptures so we can see if the man or woman of God that's leading us is following after Christ.
Yes.
And if they're not following after what the word says, they're not following after Christ, and you shouldn't be following after them. Amen.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so this has been a great lesson on today. Like I said, we're not limiting ourselves just to the book of 1 Corinthians that we're going through, but what we're doing is trying to break it down, trying to make it plain as we can. So we thank you on today. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. And we hope this broadcast, we hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And God bless you, and we'll talk to you on next time.